We're meeting here in 61 South Main in Suite 303 for our commission meeting. I have asked Commissioner Kamalo to lead us in the pledge. Commissioner.
All right. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to our presentation informational items. Commissioner Kamalo.
All right. Well, you know, it's a very special day when we have more than a handful of folks in this meeting. And today we do have an amazing recognition first up. So I oversee the health department. And we know a lot of people know a lot more about public health now. Over the last 3 years, it's not so much in the background anymore. And I hope it's always that way. Public health is a big deal. Something that was presented to the Board of Health is that Davis County Health Department renewed their national accreditation, reported to the Board of Health. This is a really big deal. It was a big deal when they became nationally accredited in the first place a few years ago, and then it needs to be renewed every several years. I'm going to not go into that because I would like for Dave Spence to be able to tell a little bit more about that, if you would, Dave, what it takes. It's a lot of work. There's only a few in the state of Utah health departments who have done this work. And become and receive the accreditation. It's not guaranteed that if you do the work, you'll get it. you do all the work and then still not be accredited. So it's an amazing tribute to not only the department, but the department's made up of a bunch of great people. Any organization that is great because of its people. And so we wanted the people responsible for this to receive some recognition. And I think we'll do what we usually do and have all the commissioners come down, and I believe that our deputy director, Dave Spence, has been asked to talk about it a little bit so all the public can understand, and then bring the folks up, and we'll shake hands and give you a little award that we have for you. It's actually beautiful. I'll just show it right now. Oh, it's sealed up. I'm going to undo the what? So we just have a small token. I mean, really in government, we have small tokens of appreciation, but a lot of heartfelt thank you behind it. But there is a coin that exists for Davis County, and it's beautiful. And I know that our health department staff all received a coin for their response to the pandemic, which was also exceptional. And so maybe you all are all about coins. I have several coins lined up on my desk, and I do like them a lot. So we have one of these for all of you, but mainly thank you so much for the incredible devotion and work. You are, each of you, quite amazing, and we're very thankful that you work in our health department. We hope you always will be working in our health department, and we hope that you are immortal for the institutional knowledge. All right, Dave, come on up, and we'll come down.
Before I get started, I'm gonna throw a couple of copies of some quotes that I wanted you guys to see. I'll start with Neil here. Neil, you pass those down. Hey, good morning. Like Commissioner Kamalo said, I'm Dave Spence. I'm one of the deputy directors over the health side of the department. And I would like to take just a second to kind of go over a little bit about accreditation so everybody understands. National accreditation is set up by the Public Health Accreditation Board, FAB, they're known as. But it was created to set minimum standards nationally. And just for a little bit of background, there's about 4,000 local health departments in the country. And when we received our accreditation status back in November of 2015, we were one of the first 100 health departments in the country to receive that. They are good for 5 years. And for those of you that remember, this was not an easy decision. This was a lot of work initially to receive accreditation. And we kind of went back and forth a little bit on whether we should even do it. I think it is very evident, and we have a group here that I don't think would argue with me, but I haven't found anybody that can argue that this did not make us a better health department initially. We went through a lot of processes, and we formalized a lot of things that we do, and it did make us better. Having said that, reaccreditation became due, and we were due in the last quarter of 2020. It involves thousands of pages of documentation. It includes a virtual site visit. But when I say December of 2020, we were a little bit busy during that time period. We had a plan to meet accreditation. We had luckily gotten ahead of it a little bit, and a lot of that was our direction from Brian and from the group that's here today. But we were ready for accreditation, and then the pandemic hit. And we had every excuse in the world to not go through the reaccreditation process. They actually gave us an option to postpone it a little bit. But we made the really hard decision at the time to move forward. And things went really well. In a nutshell, things went well. The team effort was unbelievable, and that's why we brought the team here. I'm very proud of this team. I was in a little bit different spot this time around than I was through the accreditation process, and got to work a little closer with everybody, and we had a great team. This team is outstanding. This is the group that we'll introduce here that carried the huge burden. Having said that, this was a department-wide team effort. I don't think there was anybody in the department that didn't get touched by this, but I would like to really thank our staff for the work that they did. And just kind of as a summary, there are 31 measures in reaccreditation, pretty intense measures. Our department met 100% of all the measures, which is very unusual. The average for the nation for departments that have been reaccredited is in the lower 90s. So we met every one of those. 17 areas of those were excellent marks, which means that they are used as examples for other health departments. So over half of those measures we fulfilled at that excellent mark. So with that said, I think just kind of to end this, there are about 300 local health departments that are accredited now. These are kind of fresh numbers. There's about 40 state health departments that are accredited. And we're about the 60th reaccredited health department out of those 4,000 in the country. So pretty good area to be in. And like I said, we're proud of this, and I'm glad everybody could be here to share this with us. I am going to take just a second to read. Fab did have some comments. There's three really good ones. I'm going to read the first one because I think it really displays what our department and our leadership is. But their overall comment was, the Davis County Health Department is a high-functioning local health department with seasoned and dedicated public health professionals. They have demonstrated ongoing efforts to implement, revise, and update plans and processes essential to the operations of this department. So if you want to read through those other two quotes, I think it talks a little bit about our partnerships, and it talks about us doing this during the pandemic, because it is pretty impressive that we did all that. I'll brag. It's pretty impressive that we did this during this pandemic. So, yeah, it was a little tense there for a while, but we are glad to be here. And like you said, the health department doesn't come down very often for these meetings. I even had to show a couple how to get here this morning. So glad we could find our way in here. Would you like me to introduce everybody as they come up? That would be fantastic. Let's see. Let's start with Brian Hatch. He's kind of the leader of all this. Come on up, Brian. Brian, you can show them this if you'd like.
Well, you show it.
I did bring my own award.
First should be Dave Spence. He did the work.
Okay.
So you can get him first.
Show us his own award, and then he'll go first.
Okay, in no specific order, but the next person was responsible for a lot of this, but Liz Carlisle. Liz has kind of changed job direction a little bit, but she was very involved with reaccreditation. Thanks, Liz.
I tried to get out.
Chris, we'll just start with you. Chris Bateman. Chris is our emergency response coordinator. Chris talked a lot during the virtual site visit. Chris is our talker. Trevor Warner is our... Trevor's our public information officer, and he got here about 3 months after the pandemic started. Yeah, I'll do a couple of the division directors, and actually my cohort deputy director, Rochelle Blackham, was a big part of this also. She should have been second, I guess, but... Sabrina Harmon is also new to our department, but she's a division director. Sabrina's over our nursing family health division. I'll just stick to the back row. Ivy Melton Sales is our division director over community health. I'll stick with the division directors for a minute. So Jay Clark is over environmental health. Diana Rich is over our administrative. Say about her, she's in charge of the money. Okay, Stephanie Spence is Brian's, yes, what she just said, executive assistant. Okay, now we'll get to some important folks here. One of the really great things we had with reaccredit, oh, I do have one more division director, but she can get lumped into this. Our numbers folks, epidemiologists, people that were running our data numbers and getting a lot of that together for reaccreditation, these folks are outstanding. But Sarah Willardson is our division director over CD Epi. And then I'll throw the epidemiologist also. Logan Heider, who was fairly new to us as we started the pandemic and reaccreditation. And Maggie Matthews is also an epidemiologist with us. And one of the areas where we really did well with accreditation was through our partnerships, and the next two people are really involved with the partnerships. Isa Perry. And Marcy Clark also. And the smallest of the group, who is very important in our next process of the re-reaccreditation, Amy Dussal will kind of be running this show for our re-reaccreditation in the next 5 years. So Amy Dussal does our QI.
Thank you, and
you
don't have to stay. You can go. You don't have to stay. Trust us.
Tax rates are being approved. FYI, if you want to
go. Yeah, tax rates are approval.
Oh, Brian.
Great Brian things.
Tax rate approval coming up. So.
All right, let's move on to the next item. It'll be County Clerk Auditor Curtis Koch on negotiations of contracts.
Thank you, Commissioners. We have today a couple of RFPs that have gone through the selection process and the grading process, and so we're ready to enter into the notice of intent to engage in contract negotiation. The first is for our vehicle emissions and inspection maintenance program, and we are issuing a notice of intent to engage with Opus Inspection, Inc. And so the department will start working on those negotiations. Next is for the golf course. We've had a proposal for the Davis Park Golf Course driving range facility for the construction of that, and we have a notice of intent to engage in contract negotiations with Jardine Malaske Construction Services, LLC. And so as the departments work on those, they will get back with the commission and have a contract for your consideration on those projects.
All right, we'll move down to public comments and ask anybody in the public if they'd like to come up, state their name and where they're from. We'll give you 3 minutes, if you don't mind. Anybody from the public? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to our business and action items. Animal care, Director Ashley Young.
Items on the agenda today. The first one is the acceptance of a grant award from YouServe Utah for Animal Care's Foster Care Program Initiative. This is receivable in the amount of $9,000 beginning July 1st of 2022 and going through June 15th of 2023. The next item on the list is the approval of the summary list of animal adoptions for May of 2022. We did have 167 adoptions in total, 6 birds, 82 cats, 77 dogs, and 2 rabbits. And that's all Animal Care has this week.
Great. I move approval of those 2 items.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thanks,
Ashley.
Okay. Moving on to the attorney's office. I don't see Brent Bags. Neil, will you be taking care of this one?
Yeah, I thought Brent would be here today. This is the annual ICAT grant application that our investigators for the attorney's office apply for and receive. As you guys know, you've heard us talk a lot about Brent and his team. They are one of the leading folks doing the internet crime against children's work that benefits the community in many wonderful ways.
It's like the beginning 7/1/2022, ending 6/30/2023 in the amount of $20,000.
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Moving on to Children's Justice Center, Tanya Perkins. Tanya, I do see you walk in this morning. So.
Morning. Okay, so this is an amendment to our current contract in the amount of $30,000. And these funds will be used for salaries and benefits, equipment, supplies, and in-state travel for our forensic interviewer when she went to the CJC symposium. So we're grateful that they gave us this extra money at the end of the fiscal year.
So it's that amount is used for a lot of different things, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, again, very important work at the Children's Justice Center and helping our young people and their families. People who are caregiving for them to be able to recover from trauma. Yes, great work. Thank you, Tanya. I move approval of item number 4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, Clerk Auditor's Office, Curtis Koch.
We're going to turn some time over to Brian McKenzie, my Chief Deputy Clerk, to take the elections portion of this agenda.
Good morning, commissioners. As you remember, probably a month or two ago, we came to a work session and visited with you about a new policy that we were rolling out. It's an internal policy within the clerk auditor's office to enhance the transparency and the independence of our post-election audit. Within this policy, it does require us to request the appointment of independent auditors, public auditors, to come in and assist us during the post-election audit. Our policy requires that we have one member of our Board of Canvas, which is also our Board of Commission, serve, and then the remaining auditors are made up of citizens within our community who are registered voters and who have served at least within the last 4 years as an election poll worker. A couple of requirements is that these auditors cannot be candidates, and they cannot be relatives of candidates either. So in this case, it leaves us with Commissioner Elliott as the only one for right now. And so we are requesting the appointment of Commissioner Randy Elliott and then citizens Robin White, Kristen Facer, Joni Phillips, Shaylin Luker, Moana Hill, Bonnie Benedict, Christy Davis, and Beth Carver to serve as election auditors for the 2022 primary and general elections.
Yeah, fantastic. I don't think I have any question about that. We know that audits are done and they are important, and so thank you so much for this.
Can I chime in?
Yeah.
I want to thank Brian for his work on this. This is something that we had proposed to the legislature, and unfortunately it did not make it through the session last year. But this is just another great example of when Davis County elections can take a step forward and improve. We don't have to wait for the legislature to act. We can make those changes. And this is a great improvement, and appreciate Brian's work and effort in improving the audit process of elections.
You know, I think this is important enough that we go ahead and approve this separately from the other items. So I'll make a motion that we approve the appointment of Randy Elliott, Robin White, Christian Facer, Joni Phillips, Shaylin Luker, Mona Hill, Bonnie Benedict, Christy Davis, and Beth Carver to serve as election auditors for the 2022 primary and general election.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you.
Commissioners, today we have several items related to tax rates, and I'll take just a moment to explain why we're approving the tax rate that started on January 1st of this year. So budgets are set in the prior year. So in December, you approved the county budget without a tax increase. At that time, values of property are levied on January 1st of the year. And so on January 1st, that is the value, excuse me, the properties are taxed at. And so from January until May 22nd, the assessor's office is working diligently to provide us those values as of January 1. Once we get those values, we can apply a tax rate to them that matches the budget that was approved last December. And then on a city level, which we won't be approving any city rates, but the cities work on a fiscal year, and so those are a little off. But what you're approving today is kind of the culmination of what we started in the budget process last July. So with that, I have a resolution to adopt the 2021 certified tax rates for Davis County, thereby levying a tax on the taxable property within Davis County pursuant to Utah Code Annotated 59-2-909. We have a certified tax rate for general operations of .000797, generating $29,827,286. For flood control, a tax rate of .000143, generating $5,351,696. For health, a tax rate of .000149, generating $5,576,243. That's a combined rate of .001089 for $40,755,225. We also have a resolution adopting a certified tax rate for 2020. I apologize. This is for 2022. All of these tax rates should be for 2022. Certifying tax rates for the Davis County Special Service Area, the certified tax rate of .000614, generating $675,199. We have a resolution to adopt tax rates for 2022 for the Davis Library, levying a tax rate of .000229. For $8,596,443. We have another resolution adopting certified tax rate of 2022 for the county assessing and collecting levy, which is .000129, generating $5,020,247. Last but not least, we also have a resolution with the South Davis Rec District. That has to come through this body as well, because that rec district was established by the county several years ago. The certified tax rate, they have two. One for a sinking fund bond payment, which is .000085, generating $1,114,046, and then a community service area rate of .000068, generating $895,107. So the combined rate is .000153. Totaling $2,009,153. Last but not least, and I will need to flip to this one, we have a certified tax rate for the multi-county assessing and collecting levy, and that rate is 0.000015, generating $579,554. And that is your certified tax rates for the year 2022.
Great. I'm just looking to see if I have a question. That number 7, Curtis.
Yeah.
The special service area, what is that related to?
The special service area is your unincorporated area. So where the county provides municipal type services for the residents in unincorporated, that's your special service area.
That makes sense. Thank you.
I'd make a motion that we approve items 5 through 11 that was presented to us by, 6 through 11, which was presented to us by Curtis Kolb, our clerk auditor.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Looks like I have this one. Approval of the 1 Utah Opioid Settlement Memorandum of Understanding for Pharmaceutical Chain Participants Amerisource Bergen, Cordell, McKinson, Janssen to determine the accumulation of settlement funds and set forth certain terms under which the parties may join agree, receivable in the amount of 8.695% of the state allocation. And I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to Community and Economic Development, Director Kent Anderson. Kent.
Morning, Commission. I really wanted to start as item number 0.00013.
He had to keep track of those zeros. Yeah, that was a lot.
From the Community and Economic Development Department, I'm the Director, Kent Anderson. We have a handful of items for your review and approval today. Item number 13, approval of a summary list of 13 RV agreements for the Legacy Event Center, turns receivable in the amount of $1,204.57, beginning 4/22/2022 to 5/21/2022. Item number 14 is an approval of a summary list of 15 low-dollar agreements for the Legacy Event Center. Turns receivable in the amount of $3,602.78, beginning 4/10/2022 to 6/4/2022. Item number 15 is an approval of a contract with Joseph Deutsch for the Scrape Fest Regional Car Show. Terms receivable $4,731.90, beginning 7/29/2022 to 7/31/2022. Item number 16 is an approval of the contract with the Utah Floorball Association for the U.S. Nationals Floorball Championship and the Men's World Qualifiers. This is terms receivable in the amount of $5,860.70, beginning 8/28/2022 to 9/4/2022.
Floorball?
Yeah. This is kind of an exciting one. One, this is, again, the U.S. Nationals Floorball Championship, so ESPN will be there and live feeding those events on that Saturday and Sunday. It's very similar to floor hockey. It's 5-on-5 floor hockey. That is a continuing and growing sport. So we're excited to be able to, Mike Moak worked hard on this one to be able to get this here. So, yeah, we're excited. Item number 17 is an approval with the agreement with the Major Brent Taylor Leadership Legacy Foundation. This is a request for a waiver of fees for the use of the Legacy Event Center beginning 9/5/2022 to 9/10/2022. It's the total of $17,551.20 plus chairs, tables, and equipment. So this is for our Davis Remembers the 9/11 project. And this is going to be available to the public Wednesday through Saturday, September 7th through the 10th. A lot of the Davis Education Foundation is partnering closely to be busing school students over there. And we are excited to be able to help host this. Part of the waiver of the fees is that the county would be recognized as a presenting sponsor. Item number 18. So we've got three projects on here that I think are a good balance for gas prices these days. So we've got three trail projects. One of them, number 18, approval of the Utah Outdoor Recreation Infrastructure Grant Agreement with the State of Utah, Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity to construct a new Bonneville Shoreline trailhead facilities at the Kaysville Wilderness Park. This is receivable in the amount of $142,000 beginning 9/25/2021 to 9/24/2023. Essentially, it's going to be paving, curb, gutter, and lighting for the Wilderness Trailhead Park. And we're partnering with Kaysville City, obviously the Utah Outdoor Office of Recreation, as well as the county.
That's fantastic. It's been a good well-used one. Trailhead for so many years.
Well-loved.
Well-loved. Bad holes, yeah. Crumbling asphalt. And
it's got a nice restroom facility there now.
Yes,
so
it
to
does.
Be able to add these to it, I think, will be a good benefit, certainly for the residents that have to deal with the parking on the street.
It's very nice.
Item number 20 is an approval of a contract with the state of Utah to purchase property for the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. It's a receivable amount of $400,000 beginning 9/25/2021 to 9/24/2023. There's a lot of variances that can occur in this. Hopefully, our desire would be to be purchasing easements. This will be to purchase easements or property on 1.15 miles of the Bonneville shoreline, which will be the last remaining property that would be need to be acquired to connect the South Weber to Farmington Canyon.
That's great. Did you skip 19 accidentally?
Yeah, just wanted to see if you were paying attention. Number 19, approval of the revenue agreement with the Department of Workforce Services in Davis County for the Emergency Rental Assistance, the ERA program. Terms payable in the amount of $4,392,505.93 beginning 2/1/2022 to 12/31/2022. Now back to 21. Approval of a contract with the State of Utah Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity for the Utah Outdoor Recreation Restoration Infrastructure Grant Agreement to repair pavement and reseal the entire asphalt surface of the Denver and Rio Grande Trail. Terms receivable in the amount of $150,000 beginning 5/19/2022.
Appreciate that, Kent. I would make a motion that we approve items 13 through 21 as presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, Kent.
All right, facilities, Lane Rose.
Hi, Commission. Lane Rose, Facilities Department. Before you is a grant application for your acceptance. This is with the Utah Department of Environmental Quality. This is funding for 50% of our EV chargers over here at our Memorial Courthouse. So, terms are receivable in the amount of $48,323.50, beginning
21st.
Is that today?
It's different on my paper. Is it? Do we know?
It's okay. We can make the adjustment. 6/21.
6/21. Okay.
Ending 12/31/2022.
When do you figure that will be
great.
Up?
There's a little bit of shortage supply issues, but I think we can get our superchargers pretty quick.
Okay. I'd make a motion that we approve item 22.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes, this is for two superchargers and two stage two at the end of the parking lot.
So, Lorene, that means that you put your car there for 20 minutes and then move it so somebody else can use it.
Yeah, which is fantastic. We need more of these throughout the state of Utah.
I think you get charged more if you park there after you're full.
Yes.
The supercharger.
So
you don't want to leave it there.
Keep it racking up. We'll keep her in the meetings.
Maybe give her the invoice.
And so they're all different kinds of electric vehicles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Teslas have to have adapter.
Yes.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. Thank you, Lane.
All right. Golf course. Dustin Volk, director.
Good morning, commissioners. Neil Curtis. Dustin Volk, director of golf over the golf courses. You have two items for your consideration for approval today. Item 23 is an approval of a standard sponsorship agreement with Mountain Land Supply Company. For the 2022 Mountainland Valley View Open, the terms receivable in the amount of $12,000. The event is August 2nd through August 6th. And item 24 is an approval of a standard sponsorship agreement with IntraLend Utah for the 2022 Davis Park Open and Davis Park Amateur, receivable of $6,000. The Davis Park Open is September 1st. The Amateur is the 3rd. So what are these? These is kind of pass-through money. These are sponsorship monies that come in, and then it's distributed through payout. So thank you.
Great. Is that it for you, Dustin? I move approval of 23 and 24 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Okay. Thank you.
Aye.
See you later today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian, health director presenting. Come on up.
He's got a tee time.
Route of the golf course. Thanks, Commissioner. Brian Hatch, director of the health department. I guess you know we're Davis County. The first one here, I can't see anymore. First one is an amendment with the Utah Department of Health for HIV prevention. This is increasing our contract in the amount of $16,450, beginning 1-1 of 2022 and running through 12-31 of 2022. Number 26 is a grant award from the Corporation of National and Community Services for RSVP, our retired senior volunteer program. This is funding for fiscal year 2022 through 2023 in the amount of $182,500 beginning 4-1 of 2022 and going to 3-31 of 2023. 27 is an amendment with the Utah Department of Health, our local health department environmental services contract in the amount of $11,538 beginning 7-1 of 2022. Running through 6-30 of 2023. 28 is another amendment with the Utah Department of Health for our Utah Indoor Clean Air Act funding in the amount of $1,825 beginning 7-1 of 2022, running through 6-30 of 2023. 29 is our 2022 host agency agreement with Easter Seals, Goodwill, Northern Rocky Mountain for Senior Community Service Employment Program. We get an Easter Seals worker that comes and we help train them up there in their careers advancing. And that's beginning 7-1 of 2022, running through 6-30 of 2023. The next is with the Department of Health contract for electronic case reporting to provide support for electronic case reporting, again, receivable in the amount of $40,000 beginning 4-15, 2022 and running through 7-31 of 2024. Just as a note on that one, we probably won't use that funding probably closer to the end of 23 or 24 as we're in the process of looking at some new client databases and that, which will use this money to make sure that it can communicate with the state agencies for reporting purposes. 31 is approval of a donation of some rocking chairs that came from Clearfield Community Church to our North Davis Senior Center beginning 5-12-2022. And 32 is an amendment with the Utah Department of Health for our summer food service program, increasing our contract in the amount of $115 beginning 7-1 of 2022, running through 6-30 of 2023.
That was a lot. Thank you, Brian. I move approval of items number 25 through 32 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you again. Thank you for the recognition earlier.
That was so fun. No,
thanks for what you do for the county.
Thanks to all of you.
All right, Human Resources, Director Chris Bone.
Thank you, Commissioners. Chris Bone, Human Resources, Risk, Pretrial, and Legal Defenders. I mention those other areas because today I'm speaking on behalf of Legal Defenders. Todd is on vacation today, so... Item number 33 is a request for approval of the grant award from the Indigent Defense Commission for an additional year of funding for personnel expenditures. This is receivable in the amount of $305,500 beginning July 1st, 2022 and ending June 30th, 2023. And this covers administrative support staff, a data technician that we have doing that role, defender they call it Defender A on the award, $87,500 on that one. And then Complex Case Specialty Contract, $150,000. That's where those monies are to be allocated.
Great. Yep. Thank you for that. And I move approval of this grant award from the IDC as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to information systems. I do not see Mark here. So what I have before you is a new social media policy for county employees beginning 6/14/2022.
I move approval. Second. Or sorry, did you already move approval? Sorry.
Sorry. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'll take that motion then.
Okay, moving on to libraries, Director Josh Johnson.
Normally I like alphabetical order, but today has been a trial, so. Not so bad, actually. What you have before you are, we have three agreements. The first two both have to do with the UETN consortium, Utah Education Telenetwork. And what that is, which one's first on the list? I don't
know. Yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. There's two, though. Which?
Consortium agreement with open enrollment guidelines for filtering existing memorandum understanding.
Yeah.
Filtering options is a two-year agreement. So both of these tie back to an agreement that's already been signed by the commission. I'm bringing them to you just so you know what's going on. So the basics are they did an RFP that lasted about 18 months for internet filtering in public libraries. In order to comply with SIPA and some other guidelines and get funding from the state, we need to filter our internet access. So what they've done is they provided an opportunity for that. They actually pay for it as part of the consortium. And we have to pick, they actually contracted with several people, several vendors. We have to pick one for 2 years. They'll let us change it after 2 years if we want for another 3 years. It's a 5-year contract. It's part of the memo of understanding we have with them. But because it is part of that agreement, I put it before you. There's no additional cost unless we ask for additional stuff, which we did not.
So. And is this part of the consortium decision that the board made a little while ago? This
separate
is different.
Consortium. So okay. The consortium we talked about before was the online library Beehive consortium.
This is altogether different.
This one is with schools and a variety of other organizations in the state.
That makes sense. Utah Education.
So there's no money attached to this one, but it is an agreement for 2 years.
And is this the only filtering service?
It's the filtering service we use. The other filtering service is staff. We make sure that they walk through the area. We try to be very objective about that. Subjective is not a good idea. And what we'd use is state laws. It's part of our policies.
Right. Yeah, this is, of course, is a big deal.
Related to that, the second agreement is also has no money attached, but it's us certifying that we comply with SIPA and those guidelines that have to do very much with those policies that related to filtering internet. Both of those are related to the same MOU that was signed in 2000.
And so SIPA is the Children's Internet Protection Act. Got it. Okay. There's another one for you?
Yeah, I'm going to have Matt take care of that one, though.
Okay.
Sorry. Just by way of information, the E-rate, so SIPA compliance gives us opportunity to do E-rate, which the consortium applies for us. And normally they contract a discounted rate, which is about $45,500 a year. With the E-rate discount, which is related to the way they figure it out, it varies per year based on how many people get reduced or free school lunch. It has to do with those who can most benefit from the funds. With the discount, it costs us $25,150, so it saves us right around $20,000. So.
And so that amount, yeah, we don't. Do you have
that's not on there because it's not. It's a saving. They just don't charge us as much.
Okay.
So it's part of the MOU.
Okay. Great.
Before you is the approval of the agreement with Comprise Technologies for processor terms and conditions. And the proposal for merchant services for SmartPay Online. And what this is we've already entered into the agreement with Comprise to do credit card payment online. This is the processor that Comprise uses. It's called Fiserv. So the amount is $4,865 for the term of the contract, which began in March 17th of this year and will end on the 15th of March in 2027. And that comes out to $973 a year.
Very good. Thank you. I move approval of items 35 through 37 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, moving on to the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Susan Poulsen.
Item number 38 is a liability release waiver for the Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitoring Program. This is for participants 1 through 10, and the amounts are variable based on the tests and monitoring fees. And I don't have the terms on this, but I think it begins today's date. Item number 39.
Can you step into or speak into the mic, please?
Yes, ma'am. Item number 39 is, this is for board up services rotation. That's for fires that take place at homes. And once the fire departments are completed, the board up services are called in by rotation to secure those homes. The first one is Wasatch Front Restoration, LLC. And the second one is National Flood and Fire Network. And that begins 6/21 of 22. And goes through 6/21 of 2027.
So I guess that would take care of the unincorporated areas and then the cities that we contract with? Yeah, okay.
And the whole county. I think at least the areas that we dispatch for, so minus the South End and Layton.
Oh, okay.
Item number 40 is a summary list of high school and college interns that participated in a ride-along program or job observance program at the Sheriff's Office from January of 22 through May of 22. Terms are 1/3 of 22 through 8/31 of 2022. Item number 41, approval for South Weber City Dispatch Services. This is an agreement for their South Weber City Fire Department. Receivable in the amount of $11,496.43, begins 7/1 of 2022 through 6/30 of 2023. And item number 42 is a ratification for a letter sent to Image Trend for prorated services, a payment through the end of the year, and a written notice of termination for software licensing for paramedics for their patient reporting. And this is a payable in the amount of $4,144, begins 5/22 of 2022, goes through 12/31 of 2022.
Great. Thank you, appreciate that. I'd make a motion that we approve items 38 through 42, presented to us by Chief Deputy Susan Poulsen.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, consent items.
All right, I move approval of work session minutes that we have reviewed. With these dates, May 12th, 2022 at the 8:30 a.m., May 12th, 2022 at the 9 a.m., and May 31st, 2022, as well as June 7th, 2022.
So, second.
Bunch of them.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
I move we recess to the Board of Equalization Duties.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Curtis.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration under the property tax register for June 21st, 2022. Under auditor adjustments, you have a report with two abatement requests with a recommendation for denial. Under corrections, you have 10 veteran exemption tax abatements. Excuse me. And then you have an exempt... You have one that has an exempt entity as a part interest in that property, so half interest in that property. And then you have three items of overlapping taxes that need to be abated for the year 2019, 2020, and 2021. Under your assessor initiated adjustments, you have corrections. you have 14 of those for a negative $41,409 in taxable value. And that completes your property tax register for June 21st, 2022.
I'd make a motion that we approve the tax register as presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opportunity for comments. Neil Curtis.
Just a reminder that ballots were mailed a couple of weeks ago, and Election Day is next Tuesday, June 28th. Encourage people to engage in that process. It is their right, and it is a duty as well.
And Curtis, just to, I mean, I could say it myself, but do you want to just say it one last time in the last week of voting, the day they need to have it out and all that?
Yeah, our office recommends as a best practice that if you are going to put your ballot in the mail, to do that on no later than this Friday to encourage or to ensure that a postmark is attached to it that allows us to count the ballot. The statutory deadline is later, but it's a bad idea to take it up to the limit. If you don't use the U.S. Postal Service, we do have 16 drop boxes throughout the county, secure drop boxes that you can go and drop your ballot off. Or if you choose to on Election Day, feel free to walk and drop. You can walk into the into a polling location. We have them in all 15 cities in our county. We're fortunate to have significant coverage throughout our county. If you happen to work in one city and live in another, you can still vote as we have vote centers. And so you can take your lunch break or right after work or right before work and encourage people to exercise their right.
Super helpful. And every ballot that was mailed has a unique identifier.
Correct. Once again, I would encourage folks, if they have questions about election integrity and concerns, to attend one of our election integrity nights. We hosted one last Wednesday. Was happy to have Channel 2 News there reporting on that. Unfortunately, we only had two citizens. Sometimes we have 20 to 25. We only had two that night, but we did have the media there. And so if people are concerned, we encourage them to come in and look at all of the levels and layers of security that we have in place to ensure that your ballots are counted accurately and correctly.
And then one last thing, because I've done this before, I think it's nice, and maybe not everyone knows about it, but there's a way to check to make sure that your ballot was received and counted.
Yes, so if you received your ballot this year, you'll notice there's an insert with instructions on how to cast that ballot. But also on those instructions, this year is the first time we have what's called ballot tracks. And you can sign up for text or email notifications of where your ballot is. And so in the November, if you sign up today in the November election, you'll get notice of the day that it enters the postal system. Then you can watch for it in your mailbox. Then when you mail it back, you'll get a notification of when the clerk's office receives it. Once it goes through the security processes to ensure that it's a ballot that should be counted, you'll receive a text saying that your ballot has been approved and your ballot will be tabulated. And so it gives citizens an opportunity to through email or texting, track their ballot, and encourage people to use that. It's a valuable tool. In the past, you could go to vote.utah.gov and check the status of your ballot, but this is more real time, and will give voters the opportunity to follow it from beginning to end.
Wow, that's terrific! Yeah, I only knew about the vote.utah.gov, except that it's ringing a bell that there's instructions on that yellow paper inside.
Yes, there's a QR code in those instructions. I would encourage people to track their ballot. It's a fantastic tool, and it's throughout the state of Utah. Appreciate Lieutenant Governor's office for helping to spearhead that and get that service to all voters throughout the state of Utah.
Thank you, Curtis.
All right. Any other comments, Commissioner Kamala?
That was my main thing, too, is it's a very big week for people to vote and exercise their citizenship in this way, and it's a wonderful thing about the United States of America. And other than that, this Saturday and Sunday is the long-awaited, much-anticipated, delayed, and finally here air show at Hill Air Force Base, and that's a really big, giant deal. And I believe there's free transit offered for that, getting there to decrease the parking needs and congestion that occurs. But that'll be a really, really big deal for our county coming up this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Commissioner Stevenson. No comments today.
And no comments either. So this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.